Greetings, this is Reverend Juliet Nightingale, and welcome to this transmission of Toward the Light, Leading Back to the Source. This is a program centered on near death, out of body, and similar spiritually transformative experiences and related topics, including what people should know about the dying process, the many facets of after death communications, living interdimensionally and being multisensory, intuition and telepathy, and more. We feature special guests who are both experiencers and researchers in the realm of NDEs and related topics. You're welcome to call in to ask questions and make comments during the show. There are a number of services available through our organization, Toward the Light, providing near-death studies and support, Reiki and remote healing, psychic, spiritual, grief, and motivational counseling, NDE books and DVDs, and other products for body, mind, and spirit. I'd like to encourage you to help support this program by making a donation or sponsoring a show. For more information on all of the above, please visit our website, towardthelight.org. This week, I'm very pleased to have back a dear old friend who's an NDE and also who's a facilitator at the Inner Light Church, the Spiritualist Church in Maine. And this evening, we are going to discuss the history of spiritualism and why it is so very relevant to everybody in this day and age. Welcome back to our show, Chris Owen. Welcome, Chris. How are you, lad?
Good. Thanks for having me back, Juliet.
Oh, well,
pleasure to be here.
It's an honor
to hear your voice.
Likewise. Well, I know that we were talking recently about, actually it was a sermon, I believe, that you gave last weekend, and I thought that this is such an interesting topic because spiritualism, of course, does embrace the afterlife, and any bit of information that we can share with people to help them encourage a deeper understanding of the afterlife and of after-death communications, which is a really relevant topic right now, this is very, very good. So why don't we start with your giving a description of the history of spiritualism in America, and we can take it from there, because there's a very special message that you wanted to share that sort of spurred all of this on. So go ahead and start sharing with our listeners about that. It's very interesting.
Well, what I was saying was that the big events that opened up the road to spiritualism in the modern era was the breakup of the police authority of the church. The power of the church was pretty much absolute in Europe until the time of Napoleon, and that's when you had witch hunting, which was a practice that went on for hundreds of years. You had, before then, you had the Inquisitions, and then you had the Crusades, which they had a lot of terrible atrocities back then, like the genocide against the Cathars in France, who were pretty much slaughtered wholesale because of their belief. And it didn't quite correspond to the prevailing Christian belief, so-called. And this whole reign of terror lasted right up until 1816. I don't know if you've... there was a movie that came out in the 70s called Mark of the Devil. If you watch that movie, it's kind of a horrific movie, but that is pretty much the way they did things in those days. They had, tortures and torments, and they, all kinds of paraphernalia and stuff that they used to use, the priests and so on, used to use against people who were accused of witchcraft.
I remember reading a lot about the Cathars and the Gnostics who sort of, steered away from the Roman Church and all of that, and it was horrific. So even though I didn't see that movie, although some of our listeners perhaps have done, I did do a lot of study and research into that, and it's just, as you said, it was absolutely horrific. It makes me shudder just to think about it.
Yeah, but it was a period of terror where nobody dared say or do anything, because once you were accused of witchcraft, you were, you know, guilty until proven innocent.
Exactly.
And how are you going to prove yourself innocent of something like that? You know, it was pretty much cut and dried situation. And that period in history lasted all the way up to 1816, which is less than 200 years ago. So it's only been a short period of time when we in the West have even had the opportunity to investigate something other than the prevailing personality cult religion. We're all familiar with the world religions. They're a lot of them are based around a certain personality, the Buddha or Christ or Muhammad or whatever, and then they seem to get very doctrinaire and very intolerant of anybody else's beliefs. And that's how these things happen. We're experiencing that today with the Islamic peoples in the fundamentalist. The Christian fundamentalism is not completely dead, but
no, indeed, we found out,
as you've experienced down in where you lived
in Nashville,
for a while. But the kind of things that you hear about in the news, like I was just reading the other day, a girl in Iraq. Now this is a country that we supposedly have liberated. She was stoned to death because she fell in love with a Sunni. She was a Kurd, and her boyfriend was a Sunni, and so all the men in her family, they took her out and stoned her to death. So, you know, we still are under that kind of a situation here in the 21st century, which is really mind-blowing.
I was going to say the same thing. I was going to say that, you know, the witch hunts haven't really ceased. They've just become more sophisticated, as it were.
Yeah. So we have to be vigilant.
Mm-hmm.
We were lucky, you know, in this country, the Fox sisters contacted the Hydesville spirit in 1848, and that was the beginning of modern spiritualism for us Western folk here in the United States. And the religion thrived because we did have religious freedom written into our system of law. But these things are relative. I mean, we've had a relative period of freedom in order to practice mediumship, but you can never assume that it's always going to be there.
Exactly.
That's why the important thing is that spiritualism be allowed to grow, and spread so that it can, that we have the ability to practice our beliefs now and in the future time. The sermon that I was working on, that I'm working on now, deals with why we have this problem. These religions now. You take Christianity, which was based on the mediumship gifts of Christ. He healed. You know, this is his work according to the Gospels. He gave people spirit messages. He drove out evil spirits. And then he told everybody, well, this is what you really need to do in life. This is what religion's all about. And then we had a big flip-flop. You know, we had the persecuted turning into the persecutors.
Exactly.
Instead of the Christians being thrown to the lions, now it's everybody else being thrown to the lions who doesn't believe in Christianity. So what is the problem with this kind of a situation? It kind of dominates our history. And I was reading some interesting things in Jim Mars's book, Alien Agenda, and the idea of a universal, what makes a religion universal? Well, obviously it goes beyond our little planet. I mean, you've got to ask, what are the other creations out there believe in? And he had some interesting parts of his book, and I didn't know if you wanted to give me a few minutes here. I could pick out a few, like on page 516. He had, I don't know if your audience is familiar with remote viewing. That was something that was developed first in by the Russians. Of course, it was, you know, part of the defense establishment. What they were trying to do is they were trying to find ways to gather intelligence against the enemy, and they seemed to be the pioneers. The Americans caught up in the 70s with these, you know, remote viewing programs. The Army had one, and it's been pretty extensively written about. And what it is that people are given coordinates to look at, and they're able to focus their mind on these coordinates and get intelligence information back. And it seems to be, with their mind, they're able to jump time and space.
Exactly.
And it's a proven technique. It's been proven in use, and it's probably, you know, most likely still in use. And they had a bunch of these remote viewers try to find out, answer questions about spiritual, religious, metaphysical items. And I just wanted to read a couple because they're very interesting.
Please, be
one
my
viewer
guest.
Said, what's that?
I said, be my guest.
Yeah. Well, they speak to what the subject is that we're talking about here. One viewer says, I'm sensing that there is what we call God, but it's not like we think of God at all. It's more impersonal. It's not a personal thing at all. What is personal is that, well, as best as I can say, it's like people who have gone before us, who are now serving as role models and guides to how things are and how we're supposed to do it while we're here. I'm going to call them people because they are like me in every conceivable sense of the word, because I don't feel different from them, and that's weird in itself. The way I'm getting this is that we are actually all the same, just different casings. The pattern is the same. It's like a conspiracy for life, all kinds of life forms, that is. The little guys know and understand all this, and so do most of the others. I don't see them having a religion like we do. They experience the force field of what we would call the Creator, with a capital C. Oh, but they do have their ceremonies. They are not like our masses, and it says the viewer is a Catholic, quite different in spirit. That's it. When they do things like that, like a ceremony of something, spirit is there. I can feel it, and it feels good, like an embracing cocoon. It kind of envelops you. I've never been in a tub of warm molasses, but I wouldn't bet it's much different. Maybe it would be. At any rate, it feels good. I'm there now. It's like a raised plateau. There's a, good grief, it looks like one of those Mexican pyramids, except it has a door at the bottom and some kind of entrance, small, leading up to it. I read a lot into that. It talks about spirit guides. It talks about their worship in the Creator, but obviously they're not worshiping any particular kind of a person, like a Mohammed or a Jesus or a Buddha or anything.
It's not just a man who's become deified. In other words, it's just pure spirit.
Yeah, anthropomorphic God kind of a person, like we do. I mean, we in the West think that, first of all, we think that God is separate from everything else.
That's a big mistake, right there.
Yeah.
We think we
are separate from everything else. We are better than the earth. The earth is just here for us to use and abuse and beat upon. This is the Western example. And that's how we're able to, granted this, we've had a lot of technological process, but also, I mean, we're on the verge of destroying ourselves. We're on the verge of destroying the planet. So I just think that it's the mention of spirit guides as role models. They're there to teach us. Well, that's pretty much what spiritualists believe, that we listen to our guides, we listen to our spirits. They give us clues as to what to do about certain events in our life and dilemmas and things that arise in our life. And they're, you know, it's not just the saints, you know, like the Catholic Church has so many different saints, and they're the officially authorized spirits that you're supposed to worship and talk to and so on. Well, what about, you know, Uncle Harry, or what about my granddad, or what about, you know, what about these people we know were beautiful, loving, intelligent people? What about them? You know, they're just floating around out there, disconnected from us, and we're not supposed to talk to them. And, well, that's bunk. You know, that's not true. We are supposed to accept their guidance and to accept their love, because they do love us and we love them. And there's no reason, just because they've crossed, that we should be disconnected from them.
Exactly.
And only go through the so-called authorized, you know, kosher avenues, which are really dead ends as far as spirituality is concerned.
I think it's very interesting how, you know, all of these, what's really, really natural, you know, I explain to everybody all the time when I'm talking in conversation, it's very natural to be a medium. We're all born natural mediums, and especially as children, we're very mediumistic. And then it's conditioned out of us. And all of these powers are very real. I do remote viewing quite frequently. Of course, I'm a clairvoyant, clairaudient, all of that. And a medium. And then they'll go around demonizing this stuff because they want to keep the power to themselves and keep the masses disempowered, so that they're locked in fear, which keeps us really, you know, seemingly separate from divine source because of the very low vibrational frequency that fear is. And when we move up into a higher vibrational frequency of love, then it's very easy to access all of this and to communicate, to connect, to glean the information, the guidance that we need and what have you. It's just as natural as breathing, and there's nothing demonic, or as the Christians like to say, satanic about that. Nothing.
Well, I don't like to just pick on the Christians, because
I don't either. A lot of people do.
They're all guilty of it. I mean, we can see, you know, the intolerance by some of the Islamic fundamentalist folks. I mean, they're...
And fundamentalist, that's the key right there. I think it's the fundamentalist of any breed, as it were, that is intolerant and that's going to demonize anything that is empowering to humanity. So, indeed, it's not just the Christians at all, but fundamentalists specifically that tend to regard all of that as demonic and bless them, because I see so many of them so locked in fear themselves that they become paralyzed by it. And somehow we need to let them know that, oh, it's all right, there's nothing wrong with this, there's nothing wrong with communing with those who've crossed over, because as we know, as NDEers, they've simply discarded their earth suit, their body, but they themselves continue to go on and live forever.
And that's precisely why spiritualism is a universal religion. Many of these other religions that try to pigeonhole, I mean, like Christianity, they have certain mystics that they have locked away in monasteries and so on, and only certain people in the Vatican have access to these people, and Sister Lucy there of the Fatima apparition, who was given all kinds of information from a spirit that she said was the Virgin Mary, Well, that was all kept under wraps, and even when the Spirit said that information was supposed to come out in the year 1960, they still kept it under wraps. Wow. And then when they finally released it a few years ago, a lot of people said, well, that wasn't the real message. So, you know, this kind of corruption of mediumship is what goes on in a systematic way. These information from spirits need to come out the minute they're given. We're all grown adults here. We shouldn't be playing games with spirit messages. And the thing is that, you know, the popes and the hierarchy, they like to keep that, you know, privileged information, all that stuff to themselves. It's unfortunate because the rest of us are all left in the dark. When there's a big storm coming somewhere, it's really nice to be warned ahead of time so that you can prepare for it. But these people don't see any problem with letting us all be thrown to the wolves, and this is the kind of attitude. Because we're not smart enough or we're not important enough to know this stuff. And our government has taken over the role of the church in many respects. The government still claims that all, UFO information is false, and that there has never been any proven UFOs of a extraterrestrial nature. Well, it's kind of crazy at this point to be talking in those terms. All you got to do is have a computer and get on the internet and see for yourself. I mean, there's hundreds and thousands of video clips out there of these things, and even the NASA video clips, like the STS-75 clip and numerous other clips. Hey, there it is. You know what? You tell me what it is. You know, this whole conspiracy of silence. It's not really acceptable in the 21st century, and I think spiritualism is on the leading edge because it breaks down the walls, it breaks down the barriers. We connect with spirit. We don't have to connect with any intermediary. We connect with it, and we get the information, and then we decide for ourselves how useful it is, how important it is to our lives, or what to do based on that information. If there's nothing evil about it, to use healing, of course, is condemned by the Western Church. You know, all forms of Reiki are condemned. Mediumship is obviously condemned. They still, even though supposedly they've modernized and liberalized, they're still haven't changed any of their basic laws and rules. And the modernizations that have taken place have been on kind of a cosmetic level, but the underlying belief system is still there, and the underlying it's ridiculous. Like as a Catholic, okay, look at the Kennedys and these guys. You're not supposed to get a divorce or unless you get an annulment. And if you're rich, if you're powerful, you can do whatever you want in the church. And they just rubber stamp it. It's the little people out there who live according to these crazy blue laws and believe everything that they say, and their lives are damaged as a result. And I just find that people, I find a lot of Christian people who are about to die are totally unprepared for death. They're totally in fear. They're totally paralyzed. They think that the minute they die, they're going to go and be judged and go to hell and, you know, all this rubbish.
And
you know, it's time for people to get up to speed with what's really happening in the universe and not, you know, to hold on to this, you know, outdated dogmas that were just meant to keep people in chains.
Well, I think that's why it's so important that Indians share their experiences, because we have been there, we have experienced, you know, the life review, and we're our own judge. I never experienced some he-god sitting on a throne judging me whatsoever. None of it
that was Charlton Heston.
Ever happened.
Yeah, that was Charlton Heston. Western God, he looks just like Charlton Heston. He's got gray hair and a beard. He's a big, tall, lanky guy. And, you know, he's carrying around blocks of stone, and he'll whack you with him if you step out of line.
Oh,
but what I like is, in this description that I just read, he talks about the spirit that is summoned in this, and this is supposed to be an alien spiritual ceremony, like a tub of warm molasses. Isn't that what we experience as NDEers?
That's
what I experienced.
Yeah.
It was like a tub of warm molasses. It was very sweet, very beautiful.
Yes. Yes.
These guys,
indeed.
Who wherever they are, they've you know, we've got to get up to speed with them. And we've got to forget about this fundamentalist nonsense before we, you know, end up poisoning the planet.
You know, it's interesting. It's to proclaim from experience, God is love. That's almost too simple, too real.
Yeah.
You know, but that's exactly what it is. God is love and only love. Light source, whatever you want to call it, it's not a man. It's not an entity that is angry, that is vindictive or vengeful. That just doesn't happen. It is the human ego that is vindictive. And we've got to get even, and we've got to put you down now because you blew it. And that's just not what happens. And it's such a vital part of our work to let people know that they're not going to be faced with some angry he-god when they cross over. Quite the contrary. It's just this beautiful, enveloping, all-encompassing, unconditional love that emanates, and it is pure light.
Well, that's one thing that you find. You find a lot of people that are afraid of judgment.
Yes,
because of
I
whatever it is they did during their life.
Mm.
The other part that you find are the people that just don't believe in any afterlife. They believe that once you go into the ground and are buried, that's it. You know, that's the end of the story. That's another problem, because we prove to people that that's not the way it is at all.
Exactly.
You know, once you get messages from somebody that you know only comes from them, or they're giving you information that you know can only be coming from them, then that tells you that there is continuity of life, that's a reality, that's not a fantasy. The fantasy is all these silly, you know, stories, all these scriptural stories, you know, these fairy tales that they have you believe in. That's the fantasy.
Yes.
The reality is there is a continuity of life. I wanted to read another one for you. Actually, there was a couple of these remote viewer stories that I wanted to read. This is on page 518 of Jim Mars' book, one viewer witnessed another ceremony involving water. The water of life, they call it. Perhaps 100 hooded beings participated in the ceremony in a large rectangular room with the walls covered by hieroglyphics. Everybody is praying and giving thanks to the one. Maybe this one should be capitalized. Maybe this is God to them. No, this is a little different. Feels a little different. This is a form of which of what I would call God, but it's like the whole lot of them and everybody who is alive. I mean the sum total of our spirits, God Almighty. Could it be that they are praying to all of us put together? Is that what one is? And then they go on to what another viewer had to say. One possible answer came from another viewer who told of a conversation with a hooded being who patiently tried to explain that each individual being is the eyes and ears of the Creator. When one forgets that, there is separation, and separation is unnatural, this viewer was told. He says that regardless of what body form we have, we are also made of something that interfaces with body form. He says, we call this the mind, but it's more than that. He says mind and feelings go together and have always gone together, but that emotions, strong emotions, cloud awareness. He's also telling me that to really live simply means to live without fear. Everything is energy, he says, and that I must try to understand things in terms of energy exchanged, shared, and not to steal energy from another. He says this is what reality really is, energy and energy exchanges. He's now telling me that what I think the world, no, the universe, is really like isn't. He says, I am relying too much on what others tell me and what I and others agree is. He says, for me to go on a discovery, find out things, he says, and now he takes off his hood. It's a guy with shoulder-length, light brown hair and light eyes, hazel, I think. One amazing aspect of this portion of the remote viewing report was that two viewers separately provided sketches of the site on another world where they saw the one worshipped, and they are virtually identical. So, I think that's pretty interesting. This is now remote viewing. The only reason why places like the CIA and the Army and the Soviets made such an investment in developing it and using it was because it actually worked.
It works. Absolutely, it works.
It could work scientifically. It was a scientifically proven method of gathering information.
And actually, I can offer a little bit of backup on that. My friend Dr. Claude Swanson has been on my show. Bless him. His book, Synchronized Universe, the first chapter focuses on remote viewing, and he's got all kinds of very interesting data, which include photographs and different illustrations and what have you, and double-blind and triple-blind laboratory experiences and what have you. It's, he's really pointing out the validity of all of this stuff, and he's got a background in the military and with the CIA and all of that sort of thing, and I just said, oh, this is wonderful. And, of course, if anyone's interested, you can go to toddelight.org and look on the books page under Near Death Studies and scroll down a little bit. You'll see Synchronized Universe, and that will lead to his website, of course, too. But that's, I really appreciate anything, even from the scientific community, that does validate this stuff because it's absolutely real. And what you were just reading about with everything being energy. It is so true. And it's, again, it's something that is very simple. Everything is energy. And
energy doesn't die,
it just changes.
Yeah. These people, wherever this place is, where this remote viewer went, obviously they understand that energy is shared and is exchanged. And that's how you're supposed to, that's how things work. It's funny that when you think about that on a cellular level, if cells, and this is what the Seth Materials pointed out, if cells didn't cooperate with each other, there would be no life.
Exactly. That
a human being or a bird or a whatever animal, they're an example of cooperation, a huge example of cooperation. If you get a trillion cells all cooperating with each other to become a living being, they've obviously connected with the universe. Now you've got people who don't cooperate, where at the cellular level, when the cells don't cooperate with each other, you get disease and cancer and so on.
Exactly.
This is what we haven't learned in our society today. We have not learned how to cooperate. We've not learned how to share energy. We are still into the stealing energy from another mode. It's curious that this being who this remote viewer saw was kind of lecturing him on that he really needs to get his thinking straight and he needs to go on a discovery, because the way he thinks is really primitive. And unfortunately, the religions of today are not universal religions, although they pretend that they are. And they do not teach these things. They only teach them in a very distorted way. To go back to Christianity again, Christ, they talk about the golden rule, and he talks about the golden rule and so on. But they also believe in this weird kind of vicarious atonement, where the blood of, our sins are all washed in the blood of the Lamb and all this hooey. So, in other words, I can go to confession, and then I can go out and do whatever the heck I want to do, rape, rob, and pillage. As long as I go back to the church again, I can get forgiven. Which is insane. This is how a lot of Christians live their lives. They don't have any concept of what the golden rule is all about. Spiritualism believes that what you put out there, you're going to get back. Nobody's going to save you. You are responsible for your own actions. If you hurt people and destroy things and wreck things, then you are going to welcome that kind of destruction back on yourself. And this is the message that is not getting out there. We still have this idea, the Western idea, that we're above everything else and we're above the world and we're above, we believe in a God that's disconnected, from everything. And as a result, we pollute the land, we, promote these, nasty situations in the world. We have wars, constant long series of wars. If you look at Western history, it's just a long series of wars. It's one war after another. In the old days, it was, kings that would try to grab up a piece of land so that they could expand their kingdom and their money and the power and everything. Now it's worse than that. It's, the era of total war, where whole nations can be wiped out. Innocent civilians, can die by the million for the mistakes of the handful of elites that run them, that give them their orders.
It's all about hoarding, stealing energy, stealing money.
Yeah, exactly.
Hoarding it. And it's all based on the fear of lack, which is also an illusion. There is true abundance everywhere, but when people are so obsessed with stealing and hoarding and then demonizing something so that they can just keep that power or that substance to themselves, that's all the fear of lack, which just is bollocks. It's not real. So we
and
And in fact,
people
who've
been on the other side don't know that better than anybody else.
Yeah.
The universe, there's no end to it. There's no beginning to it. There's no end to it.
Exactly.
There's no such thing as a shortage. There's no such thing as lack of resources. I mean, when you turn on the news every night and that's all you hear about is shortages, rationing, lack of resources, lack of money, lack of oil, lack of this, that, and the other thing. And reality is there's no lack of anything.
Exactly.
There's just nothing but abundance. And until we can find a universal religion that teaches this stuff, then we're condemned to our own little corner of the universe to, destroy each other, poison the land, fight with each other for no good reason. You know, we're condemned to the condition of non-cooperation, of stealing prey and predator, which is, it's a real horrible existence. That kind of existence that we've had in the past and that we have today, we're getting to the point now where we have to stop it, or else we're going to exterminate life on the planet. And the problem is that nobody seems to understand this. The elites out there, they don't seem to understand it. They just go on, scamming the people and trying to gather up, all these trillions of dollars for themselves, and, to heck with everybody else. I mean, the oil companies, they want to create these shortages, and the pharmaceutical companies want you to pay $200 for a pill that's only worth about 2 cents, and on and on and on. There just seems to be some kind of a mindless, predatory atmosphere, and it's all based on belief systems. If you approach life from a position of love, then these problems are the answer to these problems are extremely simple. But if your whole outlook on life is based on this separation of everything and your superiority and everybody else's inferiority, then you're condemning yourself to this kind of a nightmarish existence. I mean, if the world is poisoned, if we end up having a nuclear war and the Earth is poisoned, it'll affect everybody. Beggars and kings, it's going to affect them all.
Absolutely.
I don't care if you're the Rockefellers or the Bushes or the Clintons, you're still going to be poisoned along with everybody else. Why can't they figure that out? Why can't they see beyond the end of their nose and realize what they're doing is a mistake? I mean, when you look into what some authors have said, like, if you read William Cooper's book, who talks about how these people think, the elites run things, then they have this, this superiority, and they seem to think that, war is a good thing because it creates a rationale to have governments. It keeps a rationale to, keep people in line and keep them working and paying taxes and paying their loans and so on and so on. And plus it's good business. The armaments business, it's great. Lots of money there. And the thing is that is the short-sighted view. And down the road, it's going to wipe them out as well. Why they can't see that? Why they don't understand that? What we have to do is to create a new system based on truth, based on guidance from the people that love us, the people who can give us information, and who are in touch with the rest of the universe. Some people, I think their perspectives change once they're gone. Some people don't understand when they jump into the spirit world what what they've jumped into, but others do. You know, those spirit guides out there that have made the jump and have understood you know, what life is all about and the requirements of life in this universe, the fact that we have to cooperate with each other, that the universe is made of love. It's not made of constant struggle and constant one-upsmanship and constant, you know, stealing from other people in order to make yourself bigger. And they understand that, and we need to listen to them. And that information has to be made accessible to everybody. You know, rich man, poor man, it needs to be accessible to all of us on every level. You know, not just the popes and not just the kings and not just the, you know, the elites in society. Each and every individual has to have his life guided with spirit, and needs to understand that healing is necessary. It's available. And it's free, essentially.
It is free. It's free.
It's
natural.
Not. Yeah. I mean, we offer, you know, our healing chairs at church every week to everybody. You don't have to be anybody in particular. Sometimes I don't even know who sits there. I see somebody sit there, and I try to do my best for them, and then. Then we bring in other people, and I mean that is available, and we don't need that to be regulated by the government or by anybody. I was following that whole issue this week that was in front of the Senate. I never did. I haven't checked up on it yet, but. The bills that are out there to try to make health supplements, put them under the control of the pharmaceutical industry, and how they have to be, you know, what we're moving towards is what they have over in the codex there, the United Nations codex, which treats all health supplements as drugs. So you have to go to a doctor and get a prescription for a health supplement. You know, these threats are out there. There are threats to regulate Reiki people. You know, they're supposed to register with the state and become licensed by the state, and on and on and on. We have to watch out, because we've had this little bit of freedom in the world, and we've had, you know, we've had spiritualism spread to. Well, the U.S., Canada, England, Australia, a few other countries, but, you know, those things can be taken away, and we have to be vigilant, and we have to, you know, testify and witness that we're in a revolutionary mode here. This is a revolutionary movement that we have. And we are there to seek the truth. We're not there to be manipulated or to be controlled or to be preached to by vested interests or moneyed interests. We're there to bring this work to the people. Let the people decide for themselves whether they like it or not. Let them decide. The ultimate test is: can they connect with the messages? Can they benefit from the healing? They're the ones to decide, not the government, or not the church, or not the, you know, the pharmaceutical industries, or not anybody else. And this is why, you know, spiritualism is the religion of the universe. I think that the more you read about it, more that you can find this out for yourself. There was one more interesting story, and I just want to throw this in there. this was on page 179 in Jim Mars's book. He talks about this lady who that one of these UFO researchers met up with, and he talks about the MJ-12 group, which they were set up to investigate the Roswell incident and to report to the president. And once the last member of that group died, and they all died kind of funny, like one of the members was the James Forrestal, who was he was the first Secretary of Defense, and he was on this group, and he ended up so-called, quote-unquote, committing suicide. He jumped out of a window at Bethesda Naval Hospital. They all kind of ended like that, unfortunately. But I just wanted to read what this story was about before we run out of time here. It says, one intriguing story regarding MJ-12 came from longtime UFO researcher Tommy Bland, who recalled that in 1990 he met a woman who seemed to know all about the secret group. Margaret Fuller lived in the same apartment complex as we did. She was a widow and lived alone, and one day I helped her move some things into her apartment. On the walls, I saw framed photographs of her with President Truman and Alan Dulles and several other people I only knew from history. Some of them were ranking military officers that I knew from my research had been connected with the UFO issue. Over time, I got to know Mrs. Fuller quite well and found out that since World War II, she had been an executive secretary for several top-ranking Army generals. She finally showed me many files relating to her work and told me that there was a secret group in control of the UFO situation. She said it was not then called MJ-12, but it operated the same way that MJ-12 was described. She said this group was still in existence. According to Mrs. Fuller, most early UFO sightings involved aeronautical experimentation with captured Nazi technology. Later, the issue grew to include psychological warfare and disinformation campaigns. However, she said that within all this was some real but unknown things bordering on magic. She said these things were classified at a much higher level. Some of the generals said there was a connection between the unknown UFOs and spiritualism.
Wow,
now,
that's very
I wish we could have found out what the. Unfortunately, that's the end of what he's got here. But he talks about her poor lady. She also ended up going under strange circumstances.
Interesting.
People that claimed to be her family came in and grabbed up all her stuff and took it away, and he says that there was a nurse who gave Mrs. Fuller medication which was not prescribed for her. But anyway, I think that's interesting, because you wouldn't think that Army generals would have much of a knowledge or connection with spiritualism, but when I read that, I just thought, wow, I better save that.
That's beautiful. And
yeah.
You've got a statement here in your sermon that I was reading that I really quite like. It says, it is that the fabric of the universe is love, kindness, and understanding.
Mm.
And it really, really is. It's nothing short of that. There.
Yep.
Again,
it's a warm tub full of molasses.
And it's, you know, I like to remind people, too, that during my NDEs, I never experienced fear at all. And I'm sure people are just, you know, spinning around trying to even fathom what it would feel like to experience no fear whatsoever, but to only experience love and total trust that light source is with us at all times and that everything is evolving exactly the way it should. And,
well, hopefully you can cover that ground with David Icke when he comes up.
Yep, David Icke is coming up on the 20th, and then next week on the 13th we're going to have Matthew Deleuze back again, my fellow Lancashire friend, and we're going to be talking about more of his abduction experiences and the interdimensionality of all of this stuff too, which is an important point, because you know, I tell people, well, spirit and heaven isn't way out there beyond the stars somewhere. It is all around us. It's just on a different frequency. So when people can start to understand that we're simply experiencing different dimensions simultaneously, and they're all varying frequencies, then a lot of this stuff will start to make more sense to people, and then they'll realize that it's something that they can do themselves. And if we remember how we were as children, this is just so second nature to us. Our invisible friends, they're real.
You got it.
But they were just on another frequency, another dimension, and they're still real. Our pets, you know, friends, loved ones, and even other non-human entities that exist on other dimensions that are there to help and guide us. And if we can just remind others and ourselves that we live in an abundant universe where there is no lack, just with a thought, we can create whatever it is that we want or need. And I, you know, that's the big buzz these days, the law of attraction, focusing on what we want. And that's an important point, too, focusing on what we want, not what we're trying to avoid. And that, again, everything is abundant because love is abundance. And it looks like we've come to the end of another transmission of Toward the Light, leading back to the source. Your website is innerlightchurch.com. Is that correct, Chris?
Yeah, innerlightchurch.com. We're trying to get enough people together for a pastoral skills class in July. If anybody out there is interested, you need that class to become a licensed minister of the National Spiritual Association of Churches. And we would really love to have people sign up and be able to go to that class. And we're also very busy. We're going to have Mediums Day fairs, and we just had one last week down in Salem, New Hampshire. And so we're always busy. We have with development classes, and there's a lot going on.
Oh, that's great. Well, thank you so much for being with us, Chris. And I would like to remind everyone that it is only with the heart that one sees rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye. Please remember that only love prevails. We will talk to you next week on another transmission of Toward the Light, leading back to the source. Blessings and light. Cheerio for now.